Welcome back to After the Siren, proudly brought to you by the Bendigo Bank. Our next guest has been presenting the sports segment on the ABC Breakfast program for the last 5 years. And last year he wrote a book simply titled 15 Young Men about the boating disaster which claimed the lives of 14 footballers from the Mornington Football Club. Well, it's 125 years ago this weekend, and to tell us all about it, we welcome Paul Kennedy live, or welcome back to After the Siren. How are you, mate? Not bad, PK, and yourself?
Very good, very good. The Tigers got a win at Mornington today, as you know, so yeah, see if it's going okay, and Mornington put on a great show there and had a minute silence before the game because, yes, tomorrow will be the day. 125 years to the day that those footballers drowned in Port Phillip.
Well, it certainly was a life-changing experience for everyone involved at the Mornington Football Club, but also yourself, mate, because you've really followed this one for some time.
Oh, I have, yeah, and, you know, it's really felt like a good community service as much as anything because writing the book was one thing, but then when the book came out, the story has been embraced by the people whose story it is, and that is people who live on the Mornington Peninsula, and particularly in Mornington, descendants of those people who lived in the town at the time. And, it really has captured the hearts of a lot of people. And there's been a couple of things that have happened that have been mind-blowing, really. Tomorrow, when they have the event at the monument, and some people will say some words and they will remember the 15 who died. There'll be a couple of special people there. One family is coming all the way from Western Australia to be there. They are the descendants of the Coles family. Willie Coles, you might remember last time I told you, he was the young bloke on board that played the cornet. He was the musical blacksmith who was on the boat and died with the team. And the Coles descendants, they read the book and knew that they were connected, and they're bringing with them a photograph of Willie Coles, which I'd never even seen before the book came out. And they did mention that Willie Coles' brother usually played at the team, which I knew. Though I knew there was another Coles there somewhere, but he was crook that weekend, so he avoided going on the boat. And all of those things will be talked about tomorrow.
It's for our listeners who may not be aware, Mornington Football Club headed off to play by boat called The Process against Morty Alec, and that was on Saturday the 21st of May 1892, and two goals each, game ended in a draw, and it was the trip home, PK, that we're on the air talking about, mate. So,
yes.
Unfortunately, it was 14 players and the son of the captain, 13-year-old, who also died. So,
sight of Mornington, it was very dark, but they would have seen the lights, and they would have been almost home, but struck by a squall, and the boat foundered, and they actually couldn't get it up because the ballast sunk to the stern, and we know that some of the players survived the initial cold water immersion, but then died, you know, minutes or an hour later, maybe up to 4 or 5 hours later if they were able to cling onto the boat that long.
And being the investigative journalist you are.
Say that again.
Sorry, mate. And being the investigative journalist you are, you've actually been out there and did exactly the same to test out exactly the conditions. Is that correct?
It is. I did that a couple of times and I didn't do it this year, but I've done it a couple of times at the same time of year. Purely just to imagine whether or not it was and to gauge the physical reaction of going into the water at that temperature this time of year, to ascertain whether or not it would have been possible to swim ashore. The answer is pretty plain, and that's no. Their limbs would have numbed up too much. It would have been too tired. So that one put that to bed for me, and I guess I probably knew that anyway, but jumping in the water gives you a good impression of what they did, you know. And they just plonked into the water. It would have been horrific.
Well, it's amazing these stories when you do your research and doing a little bit of research. I noticed presentiment from the club captain, Tom Coxall. He had a presentiment of doom and chose to go home by steam train and ironically went on to live for another 68 years. So that was interesting, I thought.
Yeah, and the Coxhills have been a big part of Mornington. There was a big family, the Coxhills. He was the captain of the footy team. And call it fate or call it sliding doors, whatever you want. I just call it luck, you know. He was seasick and he might have thought that there was something, you know, he had a presentiment, which he might have just had a bad feeling in the pit of his stomach. But, you know, he had a bit of a turn of good luck there, didn't he? He jumped on the train and came back. And so did Henry Short, the bank man. He was one that had a bit of luck as well. And then there was Charlie Olsen, the young kid who was 20-year-old, or 19, he would have turned 20 the next week. And he would have, he had a train ticket to come home. He'd come from Melbourne to play in the game at Mornington, but he wanted to go to Mornington. And you know, he loved his mate, Hughie Caldwell, so he jumped on the boat there. And that ended his life a week before his 20th birthday. So there's all those different moments. And I guess when people have said, when they read the book, you almost get to the stage where you're coming up to the accident, you put the book down for a few days because you know what's coming next. And it's very, once you know the families and you know who they are and their relationships and where they come from and you've invested in them emotionally, then you don't want to know what happened to them. But unfortunately, no one survived. But there is a good story to tell there about community and how it pulls together. And 125 years later, we're still seeing that, aren't we? Obviously, no one alive in those times, but their memories are, and the town that they created is, and so you know it's worth remembering, I think, because sad as it was, it is rich history. So I think full credit goes to the Historical Society, that the local churches as well have been really interested in pushing the history, and also the Mornington Football Club have been absolutely marvellous and embracing it and sharing their story.
What were your thoughts on the Reverend James Caldwell with losing his three sons, mate, like you and Jim and Willie? So yeah. That would have been very, very difficult to comprehend, PK.
And he was, you know, he had to stay living in town, and he was in town till 1909, I think he lived till. He served as Presbyterian minister in Mornington 28 years since they arrived in 1874. His wife died by suicide, I should say, in 1883. So he went through a lot, that bloke. He stayed true to his job and his position. He was a committed servant of the town. But after the death of three sons just off the bay there, I mean, just off the beach, he wouldn't have been able to look at the water in his hometown without thinking about the three fellows and what they went through. And they never recovered the bodies. It's the other thing, the extra torture on top of that, is he wanted to give them a Christian farewell, but he couldn't because they didn't find the body.
It was only Alfred Lawrence, I think, was the only body that was recovered, and he was found tangled in the broken rigging, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know the story well. And there was Alfred Lawrence, the kid who they found. He was completely naked, and you know, how horrendous for his family to learn on that morning, on the 22nd, that he was found dead. But you know, after a couple of months went by and 11 of them were never found, it was almost you know, the best result was for Alfred to die with the boat, because at least that they had that peace of mind. You know, there was a quite religious time, not just a place, but a religious time, and you know, people looked to their faith to get them through. So having him properly buried, at least at Mornington Cemetery, was something, you know, and it speaks of how terrible the time was, that was something that they looked for.
Indeed, and the local Barrison solicitor, a man by the name of William Cook, he arranged a public meeting to raise funds for the dependents of the victims, and a sum of £120, PK, was raised, and I believe some of that money went towards the monument that was erected down at the corner of Main Street and Esplanade there.
Yep, but put it up a year after that. So William Cook was the guy that was in charge of the fundraising, and they had funds come from all over the colony, which is what Victoria was called then. It wasn't a state, it was a colony, and football matches were played everywhere to raise money, and money came in, and, you know, they needed to, because some of the families who left there without their breadwinners. But Cook was married to one of the Olsen daughters. And, of course, I mentioned Charlie Olsen before. So Cook some. Everyone had some sort of relationship to someone on the boat, and so yeah, those community leaders shone through. Actually, at Mornington today, I was there at the footy club. They got one of the best honour boards I've ever seen. It goes all the way back to those years. Magnificent thing up on the wall, and you know, William Cook was, I think he was president of the footy club for about 12 years as well. So it was great to look up on that board and see all those names that we now know a lot more about.
Well, it's certainly a massive story, PK, as you broke it in your book, 15 Young Men. So how is the book sales going? It was going great guns.
I think they're going well, mate. It's very, very surprising for the publisher, I think, that how many books have been sold. And, you know, they were talking about just basically being a Father's Day book for last year, but of course, I knew more about the area than the publishers. The publisher's Sydney based, and I knew that the Mornington Peninsula is a community. Mornington is still, although it's a very, very busy place now, it still has a good, strong town feel. And even, you know, where I grew up in Seaford, it's you know, it's an outer suburb of Melbourne, but it's got a community about it. And so I suspected that people would be really, really interested in it, in part of their history. And that's as it turned out to be. So the book sales are neither here nor there, but I've been really chuffed that people are passing it around and telling each other to read it, because you know, it's about preserving history above all else, and you know, if good storytelling can do that. So yeah, I've been really, really impressed by the way people have adopted the story, and they love their local history, don't they, Neil? People love local history. If something can you know, remind them of where they came, and even our history back. On the peninsula to the Boonwurrung, and which is a very sad story, probably the saddest of all stories. How the population was dying so quickly when Europeans arrived. But just to know more about our roots, I think, is good, and even if it's a sad story.
Yeah, indeed. Well, one of your fellow colleagues in PK, Paul Daffy, PK. I ran into him last Saturday night at the country championship game there at the MCG.
How was he?
Very good. He's got a new book out, and he'll be here on the after the siren on the 17th of June, mate, to tell us all about it.
Beautiful. I've got to get a hold of his book. He's one of the standout football writers in Australia.
Yeah, Behind the Goals, it's called, and it's on the administration of the Victorian Country Football League, PK, and there's some interesting reading. He said he's got a couple of interesting stories in there, and as you say, we do love our roots and our history, and clearly you're a very astute man, PK. Yourself, you've written a few books yourself that are continue to sell first and foremost, but makes us a bit more aware. So it's nothing wrong with reading, mate, at all.
No. You've got to get out there and read, mate. As a journalist, if I can tell a good story, well, you know, that's what I do. So, and if it's to do with a great game of footy and even the Mornington Peninsula, then even better. I'm just disappointed that the NPFL didn't get over the GFL last week, but as always, there's always next year and the year after.
Indeed, mate. How is the show going, the ABC Morning Breakfast program?
Going pretty good. No one sacked us yet, so that's okay.
That's a great program, mate.
A lot of journalists out of work these days, so happy to be in there. Virginia and Michael and Nate and Del, we're all a happy team there. It's like being a part of a good footy team where there's, you know, everyone likes each other, and so you've got to be happy with that.
And as you say, the one item that separates the ABC's breakfast program from the other commercial stations is the ratings aren't as big a topic on the priority list, mate. So you probably have a little bit more selection on what you can and can't present as far as the sports presenter, PK.
Yeah, and don't believe anyone says that we don't care about ratings. We do have a look at them. We know that we've got a good, strong following, so we're happy with that. But as a sports presenter, I just try to be fair to all sports, give it all a run, and make sure that sports lovers can watch some of the good stuff and not just all of the fluff that you know, often gets presented. So yeah, well, we like the show, and hopefully people like it too. Neil, we do our best.
Good to hear, mate. Well, we know you're a busy man. You've been up, as you said, since the sun rose this morning, and been a good family man as well, doing the job there, mate, as well.
But I bounced out of bed this morning and coached the Mentone Grammar Intermediate team. The year 9s and 10s, and we played the Mighty Pegs out of Keysborough. So that was good. There was an 8 o'clock bounce down. Gee. The sun was only just up.
Gee, you do it. Well, it's not just Monday to Friday, mate. You're up at the crack of dawn. It's even on the weekends too, PK. Well, look, we really appreciate you, mate, because you are a busy man. But congratulations. It's a fantastic read for all of our listeners who may not have purchased the book. It's called 15 Young Men. And no doubt you can buy that from all good bookstores. And unfortunately, as you said, the end result won't alter, but at least we're a bit wiser for learning what actually did take place on that fateful day on Saturday the 21st of May, 1892, PK.
Thanks so much for your support, Neil. And anyone that wants to go down to the monument tomorrow at 2 o'clock, it is everyone welcome. And, of course, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to go and be part of your community and enjoy one of those moments.
Good to see. Well said, and it's good to see. You've also, I think, got the Super Rules game there tomorrow, which Morty Alec are playing, Mornington.
Yes. Yeah, the Peninsula boys up against Morty Alec, so I'll bob along to that as well and have a look. Mate, I think they're having the traditional jumpers from back in the day, so they've done a great thing there as well. So
good on you, mate. Well, good luck down there to everyone involved at the Mornington Football Club. Put on a fantastic showing today. Again tomorrow, and PK, once again, we appreciate your time, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Neil. Really appreciate your time too, mate. We'll see you later. Good.